Part 4. You will hear an interview with a woman who has sailed solo around the world in a yacht race. For questions 24 to 30, choose the best answer A, B, or C. You now have 1 minute to look at Part 4.
Our special guest today is not the first British yachtswoman to have sailed round the world, but that certainly doesn't make her accomplishment any less significant. In fact, taking up a challenge in the knowledge that she was following in a legend's footsteps has shown her to be a woman of true courage. I am, of course, talking about Sam Davey. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you for that very kind introduction.
Now, I've had a number of emails from listeners who want to know why you chose yachting as a sport and how your parents reacted to your choice.
I don't think it was a case of me choosing yachting, but yachting choosing me. My grandfather was a submarine commander, and I'm in no doubt that I got my love of the sea from him. By all accounts, he was fearless, which is another characteristic I have, so solo yachting naturally fitted the bill. It attracted me in the same way as many girls I was at school with were drawn to fashion. It certainly didn't have anything to do with a desire for fame, as some people have suggested. As for my parents, they took the view that my grandfather would have been proud of me, so they didn't stand in my way. Their reaction was quite the opposite, and they were very supportive. I think that in the back of their minds, they were a little worried, but they never mentioned it to me. It was a feeling I got when they realised I was serious about the sport. It didn't last long, though, because they soon realised how capable I was.
What gave you this impression that they were worried that sailing might not be for you?
I'm a girl who likes her comfort. I like my hair and skincare products. I don't mind admitting that feeling uncomfortable is something I really hate. So my parents knew the difficult and extreme conditions you get out on the open ocean was something I'd prefer to avoid. I mean that when I'm cold or wet or both, I don't put on a brave face. I cry, and that's another thing I'm not afraid to admit.
Are you saying that someone can enter this round-the-world yacht race without being tough?
Well, if being a girly girl like me...
A girly girl?
Yes, I read girly novels, that sort of thing. I'm not tough in the sense that I don't show how I feel, but I trained hard for 2 years for the race. I'd say I'm physically fit and psychologically strong enough to tackle any kind of yachting marathon. Of course, there were times when my preparations didn't go so well, but as I had nobody to complain to, I just carried on, and I did much better than I expected and achieved all my goals.
You mentioned being psychologically strong. Is loneliness the main psychological problem you have to face on a round-the-world yacht race?
I'd say so, yes. It must have been much worse in the days when there wasn't the same kind of technology we have today. You feel so isolated, even though you can send and receive emails or speak to people on the radio. It's all very well using these methods of communication to stay in touch, but they cannot replace the reassurance you get when you're with another human being. Personally, I deal with being alone by ignoring all the negative aspects of loneliness. No matter where I am and how far away I am from others, I concentrate on the beauty of the environment I'm in and feel grateful for the fact that I'm living a dream.
That sounds like a good attitude to adopt. Another question sent by email concerns the relationships among competitors in the race. Is there fierce competition and a win-at-all-costs atmosphere?
It is always nice to win, and we are all competitive, but that doesn't mean we enjoy it when other competitors fail. In fact, I'd go as far as to say that we're more like one big family, even though there are normally huge distances between each sailor. We look out for each other. This year's race was really tough. One competitor broke a leg and another's mast broke. In the first 48 hours, about one-third of the yachts were out of the race. It's not what the rest of us wanted. We're constantly asked after each other in emails and hoped everyone returned safe and sound. That's how it is in yachting.
I see. Now, I've imagined myself sailing round the world in a yacht race. How suitable do you think I'd be, given that I work best when I've established a set routine?
If you're the kind of person who needs 8 hours sleep and regular meals, then the answer is no. First of all, I sleep at my chart table and I'm frequently woken by the alarms on my wind instruments if the wind picks up by over 5 knots. The boat is on autopilot for about 90% of the time, but neither the autopilot nor modern technology can change the sails. That's up to me. And if I'm out on deck making changes continuously, I don't realise I haven't eaten enough until I start feeling weak. Then I'll cook by pouring hot water over freeze-dried anything, from pasta to Thai chicken curry. What I'm trying to say is that time is quite irrelevant when you're out on your own in the Southern Ocean.
Well, it seems that it's dry land for me. Thank you for your time, Sam.
Now you'll hear part four again.
Our special guest today is not the first British yachtswoman to have sailed round the world, but that certainly doesn't make her accomplishment any less significant. In fact, taking up a challenge in the knowledge that she was following in a legend's footsteps has shown her to be a woman of true courage. I am, of course, talking about Sam Davey. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you for that very kind introduction.
Now, I've had a number of emails from listeners who want to know why you chose yachting as a sport and how your parents reacted to your choice.
I don't think it was a case of me choosing yachting, but yachting choosing me. My grandfather was a submarine commander, and I'm in no doubt that I got my love of the sea from him. By all accounts, he was fearless, which is another characteristic I have, so solo yachting naturally fitted the bill. It attracted me in the same way as many girls I was at school with were drawn to fashion. It certainly didn't have anything to do with a desire for fame, as some people have suggested. As for my parents, they took the view that my grandfather would have been proud of me, so they didn't stand in my way. Their reaction was quite the opposite, and they were very supportive. I think that in the back of their minds, they were a little worried, but they never mentioned it to me. It was a feeling I got when they realised I was serious about the sport. It didn't last long, though, because they soon realised how capable I was.
What gave you this impression that they were worried that sailing might not be for you?
I'm a girl who likes her comfort. I like my hair and skincare products. I don't mind admitting that feeling uncomfortable is something I really hate. So my parents knew the difficult and extreme conditions you get out on the open ocean was something I'd prefer to avoid. I mean that when I'm cold or wet or both, I don't put on a brave face. I cry, and that's another thing I'm not afraid to admit.
Are you saying that someone can enter this round-the-world yacht race without being tough?
Well, if being a girly girl like me...
A girly girl?
Yes, I read girly novels, that sort of thing. I'm not tough in the sense that I don't show how I feel, but I trained hard for 2 years for the race. I'd say I'm physically fit and psychologically strong enough to tackle any kind of yachting marathon. Of course, there were times when my preparations didn't go so well, but as I had nobody to complain to, I just carried on and I did much better than I expected and achieved all my goals.
You mentioned being psychologically strong. Is loneliness the main psychological problem you have to face on a round-the-world yacht race?
I'd say so, yes. It must have been much worse in the days when there wasn't the same kind of technology we have today. You feel so isolated, even though you can send and receive emails or speak to people on the radio. It's all very well using these methods of communication to stay in touch, but they cannot replace the reassurance you get when you're with another human being. Personally, I deal with being alone by ignoring all the negative aspects of loneliness. No matter where I am and how far away I am from others, I concentrate on the beauty of the environment I'm in and feel grateful for the fact that I'm living a dream.
That sounds like a good attitude to adopt. Another question sent by email concerns the relationships among competitors in the race. Is there fierce competition and a win-at-all-costs atmosphere?
It is always nice to win, and we are all competitive, but that doesn't mean we enjoy it when other competitors fail. In fact, I'd go as far as to say that we're more like one big family, even though there are normally huge distances between each sailor. We look out for each other. This year's race was really tough. One competitor broke a leg and another's mast broke. In the first 48 hours, about one-third of the yachts were out of the race. It's not what the rest of us wanted. We're constantly asked after each other in emails and hoped everyone returned safe and sound. That's how it is in yachting.
I see. Now, I've imagined myself sailing round the world in a yacht race. How suitable do you think I'd be, given that I work best when I've established a set routine?
If you're the kind of person who needs 8 hours sleep and regular meals, then the answer is no. First of all, I sleep at my chart table and I'm frequently woken by the alarms on my wind instruments if the wind picks up by over 5 knots. The boat is on autopilot for about 90% of the time, but neither the autopilot nor modern technology can change the sails. That's up to me. And if I'm out on deck making changes continuously, I don't realise I haven't eaten enough until I start feeling weak. Then I'll cook by pouring hot water over freeze-dried anything, from pasta to Thai chicken curry. What I'm trying to say is that time is quite irrelevant when you're out on your own in the Southern Ocean.
Well, it seems that it's dry land for me. Thank you for your time, Sam.
That is the end of part 4.